Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Extra Shot. This week on the pod, Jesse Lingard is toiling in Seoul, Brooklyn Beckham's latest career, and Inside the Slammer with Quincy Promise. My name is Jack Rivlin. Zach is with me as always.
Hello.
Zach Sweeney Lynch, I should say. You can have a surname too.
Oh, you're granting me that.
On this occasion. Right. On this occasion, I am. Happy post-Easter. Happy April.
Happy clocks changed. Happy long evenings.
Yeah. Bit of news on the live show. 15 tickets left. That's nothing. So if you do want to come and see me and Zach live in London with a few special guests, previewing the biggest wrong-uns in this year's Euros and dropping in a few stories too salacious for the pod, then come on down on the 15th of June. That's a Saturday. It's the start of the Euros. It's a matinee performance at 2 p.m. And you can get your tickets in the link in the show notes. There are only 15 left, and that's it. We're not going to add another date after that, are we?
Not for now, not to my knowledge.
Although you were asking me this morning about Edinburgh Festival.
does that work? Do they do podcasts at Edinburgh Festival?
What I'm thinking is you do a one-man show at Edinburgh.
Okay.
Just because I want to go on holiday. I want to be anywhere but Edinburgh in August. Actually, get good sunlight late into the day.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll think about it.
Yeah, maybe a bit of inspiration for that, actually. A great comment we've had on Insta, which is may even surpass the old Vegan Virgins classic, that we'd share this. This is from Gash Well Reborn. Cool, interesting name. He says, big fan of the page. Side question, is it essential to have the hairstyle of a 15th century peasant to be a presenter on The Upshot? Good question.
Yeah, it does help, I think.
Certainly helps.
You're wearing a hat today.
Are you
self-conscious about this comment?
I didn't knowingly put the hat on thinking of the peasant comment, but I can see how it now looks. Like, we both had long hair and then you got it cut. And it's that sort of mid-length.
Sort of like Bob-ish length.
Yeah, and somehow I've followed suit. I thought I'd sort of avoided the mid-length thing, but anyway, it's been deemed a peasant haircut. Yeah.
You passed me the mead anyway.
I'm hoping for the live show everyone will be sporting similar haircuts. Maybe a few like bald Friar Tuck looks as well.
Just wearing like Hessian sacks with armholes cut in.
Yeah. True fans would do it. All right, do you want to kick us off for this week's stories?
Yeah, so we're going to start off with Brooklyn Beckham, who seems like a lovely guy, I have to say. He's maybe not the sharpest tool in the shed, but to be fair, he's only 25 and he's already had three successful careers. He's been a photographer, a chef, of course, and a model as well. And he was about to add another string to his bow, and he was cast for a speaking role in a new film called Lola. Sure, like, the director was his wife, but still. Unfortunately, Brooklyn's little cameo didn't go too well. So his wife, Nicola, was giving an interview last week, and she explained, yeah, Brooklyn had one line. It was hi. But he just kept on saying it in a British accent, and he was staring directly into the camera. I was like, oh God, we have to move on. Good Lord. So Brooklyn ended up on the chopping block.
So she cut the scene.
She cut the scene.
She's not in the film.
No, not anymore. Yeah, she gave a role to her brother and to Brooklyn, but Brooklyn didn't make the cut, sadly.
Didn't pass the test.
Yeah.
I mean, it is rule one not to look straight down the camera, isn't it?
Yeah.
And was he meant to be speaking in an American accent? I think so,
yeah.
How do you fuck up the line, hi?
Yeah. Surely, I mean, I'm famously terrible at accents, but I reckon I could pull off hi.
In an American accent?
Hi.
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 Yeah. Staring straight.
It's just a sound, basically.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure Brooklyn got to that stage in school. That's a little bit cruel. Sorry. Poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I always think that Brooklyn does come across as as a lovely, yeah, a lovely guy in interviews.
Harmless.
He's a village idiot.
Well, yeah. Which of his careers would you say he's excelled the most in? You got the photography book with the blurred images. Yeah. We've talked about that before. You got the chefing where he does bacon sandwiches.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. I meant to offer an apology because I think the last time Brooklyn came up on this podcast was when he did a pop-up restaurant in London with Uber Eats, and we promised to order in his bacon sandwich, his famous bacon sandwich. But unfortunately, they didn't deliver to anywhere near us.
We could have gone somewhere,
but it was. I think they only had one. There was only one dark kitchen in the whole of London that. That was serving his...
For about 4 hours. Yeah. And he famously wasn't going to be there. Yeah. He was like, no, I'm not in London.
Yeah.
Yeah. We put about as much effort into that as, you know, he put into his acting. Or maybe he is just trying really hard. I would say he's most talented as a chef. Assuming village idiot isn't an option.
Yeah. Some of his food looked pretty good.
Yeah. And the photography...
The bacon sandwich.
He was a model for a bit. Maybe he's good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good-looking guy.
TV personality.
Yeah, I was on his Wikipedia, and it's like his occupation is listed as socialite.
That's probably the most accurate.
Yeah.
Socialite with the IQ of lichen.
I do find it funny that he's basically milked his famous parents for a couple of good careers, and now he's moved on to his wife.
Who's next? Romeo.
Yeah.
To be fair,
see if he can get a trial at Brentford.
Yeah. His father-in-law is even wealthier than the Beckhams, isn't he? He's like a ludicrously wealthy, like, hedge fund finance guy.
Yeah, I slightly imagine this is how Nicola Peltz has got her directorial debut as well.
Okay. Yeah, I personally think she's extremely talented.
Yeah, well,
you're bang out of order.
I would point you in the direction of the IMDb page for this film.
What are the ratings? Do you know?
Four out of ten.
There's no shame in that for a debut. Yeah,
I suppose.
Not great. Yeah. But I would quite like to see Will Brooklyn now go into banking, sort of trading. I would watch a sort of Brooklyn's day trading channel where he's
Apprentice-esque.
But yeah, or just him buying stocks. I guess he would just buy like stuff he recognises. Just
yeah. Like what?
Disney.
for this week's tip, we would be buying Apple shares.
Yeah. Spot the Dog, I don't think, is a publicly traded company. All right, that's probably enough on poor old Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, we should. I think I've already said it a couple of times, but I do think Brooklyn is a very nice man.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Lovely fella.
Thick as mince. Nah, lovely, lovely guy. If you're listening, Brooklyn.
Right, Zach, it is the biggest week of the year. It's Old Firm week. I should actually say it's the biggest week of the quarter because they play each other about five times a year. Rangers v Celtic on Sunday.
Of course.
You ready?
I'm counting down the days, yeah.
You're a big Celtic man, aren't you?
Yeah, I would say I'm a Celtic, yeah.
Mm. Well, you'll be excited because it is the closest title race since 2008-09 season.
Mm. So I think Celtic are top by 1 point, but Rangers have played a game less. So
it's really tight.
Nail-biting.
Yeah, so tightest in, what, 15 years? I mean, didn't Rangers spend some of that time like...
They were in administration.
Yeah, and then obviously had to come out of it. Yeah. So nonetheless, it's good to have a tight title race. And we did a special... this week, our Tuesday pod on Scottish football madness to mark Old Firm Derby week. Mm. There's some good examples in there of just like the insane lengths that Rangers and Celtic fans will go to. So we talked about George Boateng, who he went to have contract talks with Celtic and Rangers fans loosened the wheel nuts on his car so that he and his entire family were nearly killed on the motorway. But, you know, great bants. Mm. And Dwayne, our guest, he also told a story about a house party where they stuck on a game of FIFA where it was just the computer playing the computer, Rangers v Celtic, and everyone was getting like really heated and getting into fights. Just ludicrous stuff. Dwayne has sent us a voice note because he's just remembered another incredible example.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on the podcast this week. It was a lot of fun. When we were talking about the Rangers-Celtic rivalry, I forgot to tell you about Lark Hall, a small town just outside Glasgow that's so staunchly Rangers that people kept breaking the green traffic lights, so they had to put up these special grills to stop them from getting smashed. And any shops that would normally have green signs, they had to change them, so the sign for Subway is black. I think things have gone better in recent years, but I'm quite sure this is exactly what William of Orange would have wanted, especially the traffic lights bit.
That's incredible. Have you seen Trainspotting 2, where they're in that like mad loyalist pro-British?
Yeah.
I think that's presumably in a town like that.
Mm.
What are they? How do they drive? Are they just having? Do they just not want to have any traffic lights then?
I don't know, because Dwayne also sent this picture of the traffic lights. They literally had to put a cage over the green traffic light to stop people smashing it.
But those people, what are they doing when they see grass?
Yeah. Just putting down weed killer.
Yeah. Can you banish all green from an entire town? Is that possible?
Can you get blue grass? Is there a special...
Yeah, I guess you're just dying everything. Yeah. That is mental, because we literally joked about this when we were talking like a couple of months ago about Dan Levy and how he didn't want red cranes for Tottenham's new stadium build. So he got blue ones, I think, and he like spray painted the fire extinguishers. And we were literally joking that he wouldn't be able to go through a green traffic light.
Yeah, and it was John Terry, wasn't it? I think it's...
Was it John Terry doing the plug sockets?
Yeah, John Terry was turning all the plug sockets, the red plug sockets off around the Chelsea training ground because he couldn't bear to see red.
Even by those petty standards, this is going too far.
Putting the safety of your children and fellow townsfolk at risk.
I guess you just treat orange as go, which again is fitting. Anyway, look forward. If anyone else spots any insane examples of diehard loyalty to the old firm, or indeed any club, keep them coming.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, we told you about the ridiculous fanfare around Jesse Lingard's arrival at FC Seoul. So you might remember that they had like the record K-League attendance ever. It was like 53,000. Tickets for his debut sold out in like a minute and a half. They had to set up a special shop called the Lingard Zone outside the stadium, just selling Lingard merch. So it was, you know, they were going absolutely mental for him. But since then, it's not really gone to plan. So they lost first off in his debut. And then a couple of weeks ago, the FC Seoul coach, a guy called Kim Ji-dong, said, "Even though Jesse came on as a substitute, he didn't work hard and avoided tussle. The name value has no meaning on the pitch. I will tell him this exactly."
Stern.
Stern words. And it hasn't improved since then. So they drew, had a pretty disappointing draw at the weekend, and the manager let loose on Jesse again. So this time he said, "I've been thinking a lot about removing Jesse. I don't think a player who doesn't run for a few minutes is a football player. If you're going to play soccer in the name, shouldn't you just take retired players?" Which I think it's a slight mistranslation. I think it means if you're going to go off the back of your name, then we'll just take retired players. Okay, we would have got someone fucking better than Jesse Lingard.
If you're not going to add anything on the pitch, then we'll just...
Yeah.
Who's the... Well, like Pele.
Yeah, you may as well.
Puskás.
Yeah.
It's all FIFA, mate.
Yeah, they probably do a better job than Jesse is, though.
Isn't he like recovering from an injury, or just hasn't played for 6 months?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, well, obviously he hasn't played for 6 months, but yeah, I was reading something. He's got a hamstring injury or something. So I'm wondering whether they're just bringing off the bench to make sure they sell tickets, and then he turns out to be injured.
Maybe they're worried about having the reaction that Messi not playing in Hong Kong got. Yeah, you can't bring a name in and not play.
A diplomatic incident.
Yeah.
There's no word though if Jesse's faring any better with Apley. The Instagram model whose DMs he was sliding into. So you might remember she's very, very strange, almost AI generated looking Instagram model, who's described as Korea's Kim Kardashian, or as one person commented on Instagram, Kimchi Kardashian.
That's excellent work. Thank you.
Very good.
To whoever that was. Loving our comments on Insta. At Upshot Towers, if you want to follow us on Insta, actually.
See our medieval haircuts. Yeah, in life.
See them for yourselves. Shit, so not looking great for Lingard? Isn't there any element of that just like quite a stern coach?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's seen that Jesse is the kind of player who needs a bit of, a bit of stick.
Yeah, I would actually say the opposite is true. He's a confidence player, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's an arm around the shoulder.
There's only one way to find out, I guess. but yeah, no, it's... I don't know. It's not looking like the adventure that he was hoping for. Really.
Still time. I'm holding
out
hope.
Maybe Apley will sort him out. Once he's settled down with her, then...
In Gangnam. Isn't he living in Gangnam?
He's living in Gangnam in a hotel. Excellent. Yeah.
Last week we talked about the tributes that Sven-Göran Eriksson got from his old England players. Channel 4 put together this like really sweet package. Was slightly sullied by a couple of the players. As someone said online, Paul Scholes delivered his message with the tone and charisma of an oscillating desk fan. it's well worth a watch to see that for yourself. And obviously we talked about how Michael Owen completely killed the vibe with his just totally generic greeting.
Yeah, typical Michael Owen style.
Yeah, there were a couple of nice ones. So Owen Hargreaves did like, he looked like he was in tears. He said like, "You changed my life." And it opened with Joe Cole doing a really nice message. And he shared this memory of when Sven swanned into the dressing room after a game with a glass of champagne in his hand and told Cole, "You are now a complete player," which is a really nice moment. Although I was thinking like, why Sven got the champagne open in the dressing room? And I actually looked up when it was, and it was after a 2005 qualifier win over Northern Ireland. And England hadn't even qualified at this point. Like, is it normal to have champagne going? They won 4-0, so...
Yeah, Sven strikes me as the kind of guy who would pop open a bottle of champagne at...
Well, you'd be right. And it turns out it's a bit of a habit, because there's a story from Dietmar Hamann, who played under Sven at Man City. And apparently he was always one of Sven's favourites. And he used to call Dietmar Kaiser, which means like emperor in German.
Isn't that what they called...
Beckenbauer.
Beckenbauer,
yeah. And Kaiser Wilhelm, I guess. Different kind of Kaiser. Yeah. Anyway, Dietmar Hamann tells this story of when Man City had been on a pre-season tour to Thailand. And it was the end of the tour, so they were going home the next day. It was like a day of free time to relax. And Hamann was sitting on the roof of the hotel by the pool at 10 a.m. And suddenly Sven emerged onto the roof carrying a silver tray with two glasses on it and a bottle of champagne. And he sort of like sloped over to Dietmar. Dietmar recalls, he said, "I looked up and said, 'Boss, what are we celebrating?' Sven turned to me and smiled that gentle smile of his and took on the air of a Buddhist philosopher as he said, 'Life, Kaiser. We are celebrating life.'"
He's such a charmer, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know, it was always a bit of a mystery how this sort of balding, middle-aged, not particularly handsome football manager managed to have these affairs with like a string of incredibly glamorous women. And then you hear stories like this, it's like, okay, he's got...
Yeah, that's the charm.
He has got quite a lot of charisma.
Because he wasn't that charming in interviews particularly, was he? He was kind of sweet and nice, but it was... I felt like it was
He seemed quite nerdy, really.
Yeah, whereas this is the real Sven. Yeah. This is what wooed Ulrika Johnson. Yeah. Although didn't she famously say sleeping with him was about as interesting as assembling an IKEA bookshelf? Which has got to be planted in her mouth from a journalist. Yeah, Swedish. Yeah. What, we're all so Swedish. Anyway, that's a lovely memory of Sven that I thought worth sharing.
So Fulham fans don't have the toughest reputation. You've probably all seen that picture of the guy cutting a Victoria sponge on the terraces. There was that other one of those fans going to an away match on the train with a cheese board and a bottle of port.
Were they playing up to it, or is that...
I don't know. To be honest, that cheese board one, I was slightly sceptical whether that was just some people have captioned a picture of people eating a cheese board on a train as Fulham fans. I don't know. Maybe that's the Fulham fan in me coming out being...
I should say, Zach's a Fulham fan. Sammy and George, both of our producers, are Fulham fans. Mm. So there is some Fulham bias that I'm acting to counter on my own.
This is why I thought I'd bring up this story, just to head off any accusations of favouritism. So Fulham fans' not so fearsome reputation wasn't exactly helped last week when the club released an artistic impression of the roof terrace on their new Riverside stand. And it had, there's a swimming pool on the top, on the roof of the stand, which like overlooks the river and overlooks the pitch. To be honest, it actually looks really nice, but it's not.
You're already picturing yourself up there.
I'd have to remortgage everything I own to even be allowed to dip my toe in that pool. But yeah, I don't know. It's just quite a funny image. Really like plays up to the stereotype. The whole sort of complex looks basically like Soho House. It's this sort of glass fronted bar with windows looking out onto the river and plush deck chairs and people with like champagne flutes walking around. One of the people in the artistic impression is like just a guy in a full suit and tie, which
yeah,
is not your
hard to picture on match day.
Yeah.
So is that what is it? Is there going to be a swimming pool for matches?
This is like the hospitality section, I assume.
I think they're opening like a health club.
A health club?
Well, it's more like a members club thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a sort of Soho housey.
Yeah, I don't think that any of the hospitality packages come with, okay, 3-course dinner, you can watch West Ham at home, and you get a quick swim.
Surely members will be able to go to the games.
I have no idea on that.
Yeah. Oh, so will this be open all week?
Yeah. You won't. Oh, okay. I think you won't be able to use the pool on a match day.
I think it'll be
fun to imagine.
So Monday to Friday, it'll be just full of like vapid Insta hotties nibbling on croquettes, waiting an hour for service. If it's anything like Soho House, and then on match days, you can bring your cheese boards. Surely you'll be able to watch from up there.
That would be such a selling
from the
point
pool.
Although also. Most of the football season, are you going to want to be in an outdoor swimming pool?
I know. I was actually thinking that when I saw the pictures. I've spent so many evenings cowering in the Hammersmith End from like the icy breeze blowing in off the river.
Yeah.
And the last thing you'd want to do at that point is jump into a pool. Unless the pool's heated. Maybe the pool's heated.
Yeah.
It is heated. Past them. This isn't the first time because we've got the same owner that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he took out 10,000 seats in his stadium in Jacksonville to install a swimming pool. Where you can watch NFL games really? From
I mean,
the pool.
It'd be cool to watch from swimming pool. Obviously, it'll be full of cunts because it's a members club.
Fulham fans.
But and it's Fulham. but quite cool to watch from a swimming pool. Didn't Chelsea do something recently where they took out like 500 seats so that they could have an ad for some holiday thing, and they got a Made in Chelsea star. She was like sitting. She was sitting in like a deck chair watching the game.
Wasn't it a bed?
It was a bed. You're right.
Yeah. It's like a double bed.
Yeah, and everyone was like, "Game's gone." But you know, in Fulham's case, absolutely fine.
I hope they don't put in that purple ink that they put in swimming pools to make sure you don't pee.
Football fans would do that.
Football fans, 100%. I think they'll be mostly pissed.
I would actually like to see people do that to Soho House because Soho House can fuck off.
Actually, reminded me of. I can't remember if I've told this story in the podcast before. I went to a Fulham away game one time and was standing in the concourse bit before the game. And there was this group of guys in their like Stone Island jackets. And me and my friend were kind of just laughing at them, like trying to look hard in their Stone Island jackets. And then one of them came up to me and like tapped me on the shoulder. It was like, excuse me, would you mind taking a photo of me and my friends?
Did they then all do the get the badge in pose? Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, it's not a terrifying place to go.
Yeah.
Also, on the topic of sort of like really posh ways of enjoying sport, we did a story in our newsletter last year. Was it last year? Royal Ascot.
There were
those guys who were in the car park and they'd sort of like erected a table and they were quaffing wine and eating cheese and they had a candelabra on the table. It just looked so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just like the contrast between that and the American tailgating tradition where, you know, there's just like hillbillies will like fill the back of their trailer, their flatbed truck with
beer.
Yeah, no, but they'll like make it into a little swimming pool, in fact. And then sit in there grilling possum and drinking Bud Lights.
Yeah. I think actually that comparison, is that why Dwayne labelled it quail gating, which is really good. It's only a matter of time before the candelabra is out at the new Fulham members club. Yeah. What, do we know what it's called? I bet it'll be called like The Cottage.
The Riverside.
Yeah, is it going to be called The Riverside?
I think so.
Yeah. Someone said it was an April Fool's released a few days early and I believed that.
Have you heard about the experience at West Ham?
Go on.
You get a helicopter ride. Included in the hospitality package.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you
I thought you were about to crack a joke. You'd be like, you get a Chelsea smile on the way to the ground.
That's after the helicopter ride.
You get a helicopter ride?
Yeah. Again, you get your little fly
to
around
where?
London.
To the ground.
I think to the London Stadium.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it's probably got,
From where?
You have to drive out of London. To a helipad.
Kent. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of cool. I always think, to be honest, with these hospitality packages, you see them advertised, it's like $6,000 or something to go and watch like Fulham against West Ham. It's like, honestly, if I had $6,000 to spend, then I wouldn't do it eating like canapes and then watching a 0-0 draw.
What if there was a pool?
If there was a pool, then I would pay.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. That's all it takes. I reckon though, if you're sort of like a Chinese billionaire's son,
yeah,
then getting a helicopter to the London Stadium is probably quite a good Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. Right, well,
I'll never know.
Probably just cost you guys free membership of the club.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever seen this UFC TV show called Countdown. So it's basically a... Oh, you haven't seen it.
I presume.
Neither have I, but I just have heard about it. So Countdown is a... it's like a live broadcast show that UFC do to build up to their big fights.
So like a sort of football focus of UFC.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a bit more exciting than that.
Yeah. So they recently visited the gym of an American fighter called Henry Cejudo before a big fight that he had. And, you know, the TV cameras are coming down. I think the staff there were all pretty excited. Like they're finally probably going to get a bit of credit and their family will be able to see behind the scenes of what they get up to at work. So, you know, you've got the chef knocking up a double portion of his favourite sheep liver protein shake to share with the camera crew. The cleaner spent 2 hours polishing the skipping ropes. Henry's long-serving coach, Eric Albarracin, had prepared a whole monologue on his glorious 15 years coaching Henry Cejudo. Unfortunately, though, Henry had other ideas. So after giving the camera crew a tour of the gym, he decided that it was the opportune moment to give Eric his P45.
So this is on live TV?
This is on live TV.
I know the mistakes that I made.
Well, Cap, I didn't want to talk to you and like the whole team, man. You were with me for my last Olympic trials. You've been there for me, but as of right now, I just want to let you know, man, that for this camp, dude, I'm getting rid of specific coaches, man. But you included, dude. Sometimes you're too close to somebody and people just get too comfortable.
Should say, Eric is wearing some fucking stupid glasses. I'm not.
Do you think that's why he got?
Oh, I think that's grounds for sacking. Yeah.
Noted.
You can almost see the moment where it dawns on Eric that he's just being fired on live television. Yeah. His heart just breaks.
Like these guys, they've been working together for 15 years. Like this guy had coached him. I looked into him. He used to be a wrestler, and this guy had coached him to the Olympics and he's now gone into MMA. He's just being sucked into the MMA content farm of just like sacking your like coach and best friend on live TV.
He kind of takes it well in that he doesn't put up a huge fight, but I mean, you're on live TV.
He looks like he's about to burst into tears. Yeah.
What are you supposed to do when that's broken to you live on television?
Your mum's watching at home.
Yeah. Do you think he texted everyone before being like, tune in 6:15, I'm going to be on.
It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah. Right, speaking of brutal, I have got an update on Quincy Promes,
the
Dutch striker, who, as a reminder to listeners, he was convicted of coke trafficking in the Netherlands, but he was living in Russia, and all he had to do was not get extradited to the Netherlands, and he'd be fine. Unfortunately, as we discussed on a recent pod, Quincy joined his Spartak Moscow teammates in Dubai for a warm weather training camp and sort of a little bit did a hit and run on someone in a rental car, I guess. And he got banged up and he's now awaiting extradition to the Netherlands, which is frustrating given that all he had to do was not get arrested. Anyway, some jail insider has leaked a bit of info on the conditions Quincy's living in the infamous Al Awir prison. It's pretty grim. He's in a six-man cell he's sharing a double top bunk. So is that like a double bed?
two of them in one bunk? Or?
No, I guess he's on the top bunk of a double bunk.
Okay.
I think that's what that means. There are 20 others, though, sleeping on the floor of his cell.
Oh, wow. He's doing pretty well, then. In context.
I mean, yeah, compared to life a month ago, when he was just off on holiday in Dubai renting a Lamborghini. Yeah. But I guess, in Al Awir, that's doing pretty well. Apparently, it's pretty grim. It's freezing cold and there's just constant noise due to the aircon unit. Mm. But I guess, air conditioned. And he's had to shave his head and apparently in the jail...
If it's freezing cold and really noisy because of the aircon, surely you switch off the aircon for a bit and kill two birds with one
stone.
Probably
be quite hot then.
It just says freezing cold.
Yeah, but because of the aircon.
Okay. But turn it off for a bit and then...
Yeah, I'm not sure they're handing him a fucking remote.
Climate control.
Mini bars over here if you want to control the temperature.
Yeah.
There's 20 of you in a cell. I mean, a windowless concrete cell.
I think that's what Ronaldinho's time in jail was like.
Yeah. I thought maybe Quincy would get that sort of treatment. But apparently most of the fellow inmates are addicts who don't really watch football. So he's got no real profile in there. But they probably do a mean spice shisha, knock him up a hand sanitizer cocktail when he's bored. Actually, though, interestingly, it's not all bad. His cell is all other Dutchmen awaiting extradition.
Entirely.
Yeah, so all 20 of them, which I thought was
quite... None of them are into football. They're all just...
Well, maybe his cellmates are, but the general jail is lads from the subcontinent who are... I don't know. It sounds like a lot of people are involved in the drug trafficking trade, which... would probably explain how there are so many Dutchmen there, because that seems like a lot to me. 20.
Yeah. Do they just divide all the jail cells by nationality?
Yeah, maybe. I'd say that's pretty lucky for him to get in a cell full of Dutch people. He's got 50 caps
maybe
for his country.
Maybe that's why he's got a top bunk.
I genuinely think that is what happens. They probably are making him hand sanitizer cocktails to keep him happy. Apparently another of the rules is he had his head shaved, and if you let your hair grow in that jail... then everyone is punished, all inmates.
In the whole prison.
Yeah, it makes it sound like you have to shave your own head. Don't know how.
You guys would be nightmare.
Yeah, we'd be fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, be no drag us into the 21st century.
Although it is quite medieval peasant to just like have your head shaved in like a rusty bit of glass. Can glass rust? Anyway, Quincy has launched one last bid to salvage the situation. He's asked... the judges in the UAE to extradite him to Russia instead of the Netherlands, which
yeah,
I have a feeling it's going to fail. But, you know, all this could have been avoided if he just hadn't got himself arrested. All
yeah,
he had to
just don't do a hit and run. Even if you're going to go to be honest, if I was him, I wouldn't have even gone on the training camp to Dubai.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have stabbed my cousin in the leg and trafficked 120 kilos of coke. Yeah. But if the junction at which you had to stop this was after that, then yeah, I wouldn't have gone to Dubai. Yeah.
I think I get the feeling decision making under pressure isn't his.
Also, footballers love Dubai.
Forte. True.
Doesn't pan out well for everyone. All right. Well, we'll keep you posted on Quincy. I have a feeling he's probably quite keen for extradition to the Netherlands now.
To the Netherlands?
Well, anywhere but the Al Anawiya prison. Right. I think that's all we've got time for. Do get your tickets for the live show. There are only 15 left. That's nothing. It's one group of friends. We will see you again on Tuesday, where we will be diving into the utterly mad life of Neymar. It's pretty sordid stuff.
It is very sordid.
It's sort of like, dads having orgies, mums having toy boys, broomsticks up bums.
Yeah, it's like a real trash reality TV show.
But starring one of the world's most famous and talented footballers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. So come and listen to that on Tuesday. We will see you then. Thanks a lot, Zach.
Thank you, Jack.
And thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.